Hello, Apostolic Insiders. It is the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, and I want to focus on the Gospel reading from today's Mass, John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. And the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me.'" And I have to just mention, you have that little hint there of the divinity of Christ, which is a central theme in John's gospel. Because even though we know John the Baptist was older than Jesus, he tells us that he existed before me. But that's another time, another talk. But I want to focus on verses 31 and 33 here, because notice John the Baptist twice says, "I myself did not know him. But for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him." He emphasizes that. He says it twice. "I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" In verse 34, "And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." At this time of year, we always get this question at Catholic Answers. In fact, we get it more than just at this time of year, but we do often at this time of year, because it's in the readings. People will ask, why would John the Baptist say, "I didn't know him," twice? I mean, come on, they were cousins. And remember, folks, they were raised in Nazareth. We're talking about a town. Remember, this is a small town, about 400 people. In the whole town, everybody knew everybody. So why in the world would John the Baptist say, "I didn't know him," right? Well, obviously, it's not that he hadn't made his acquaintance. They probably played together as cousins growing up. But he did not have the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my friends, until God revealed it to him, and evidently here at the time of his baptism. And folks, there is an extremely important message here, that unless you and I have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, we are dead in our sins. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity incarnate, if you believe he continues the incarnation in giving himself to us miraculously in the Eucharist every day, you have a tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit that should be treasured. And remember, it can in fact be lost. It is a gift that is given to us. We can squander it, my friends. But if you believe with John the Baptist that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have a tremendous gift. That's the focus here. Is St. John the Baptist, in essence, is telling us it doesn't matter if you're a cousin of Jesus, right? In a worldly sense or a fleshly sense. What matters is, do you have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is? This text always reminds me of Matthew 16, 13 through 19, the famous text when Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" And of course they respond, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, you're this prophet, that prophet." And then Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" In the midst of the confusion of this one says that and that one says this, it's Peter that declares, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father is in heaven. And I say to you, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Our Protestant friends often, or at least many of them, miss this by a wide margin. You've probably heard them say it, "Well, there's nothing special about Peter other than the fact that he received this revelation. That's all it's about. Peter was the first one to receive the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. So Peter is just like anybody else. There's nothing special about Peter. In fact, Peter alone doesn't have the keys and the power of binding and loosing, but we all do as Christians." I often kind of tongue-in-cheek say, "Well, folks, if everybody has the keys, nobody has the keys. If everybody has the power to bind and loose, nobody has the power to bind and loosen, because then nobody can tell anybody anything." You can't argue with God, folks. But the bottom line, you know, and if everybody has the authority to speak for God, well, what happens when you disagree? Well, obviously, at least one of you isn't speaking with the authority of God. But the bottom line is this. That's missing the point of these, especially the text there in Matthew chapter 16. Peter was not the first to receive the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. Of course, we have it right here in John 1:34. John the Baptist declares he is the Son of God. And if you read down to verse 49, Nathanael declares long before Peter that Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus blesses him for it in verse 50. In fact, in Matthew 14:33, we have all of the apostles declare. Remember in the famous scene where Peter walks on the water, they're out on the sea, ready to sink and die. And, you know, Jesus walks into the boat, calms the storm, and they all declare he is the Son of God. So obviously, you know, Peter wasn't the first to receive that revelation. But that revelation is crucial, and Jesus used it as the occasion to inform us, to inform the apostles who he's putting in charge. That was the occasion to declare St. Peter to be our first pope, and it is a reminder to us that that great gift of the church is rooted in supernatural power, not in the power of the person Peter, but in the office of the papacy that is guaranteed by the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church, my friends. But you know, there's something else that immediately comes to mind here when we're, you know, really thinking about what John the Baptist says here when he says, I did not know him. I did not know him until he received that revelation. And that is, my friends, we cannot know him apart from the revelation of God that is given to us by a gift of grace. And we have no power in our lives apart from Christ to do anything of you know, that merits anything in eternity apart from the power of God in our lives as well. You know, a verse, I just want to toss out this one other verse here. And that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, St. Paul says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. Now, of course, St. Paul's talking from his perspective as one who thought Christ to be a madman, to be a false Messiah, and so forth. But he's sharing something a little bit deeper here for all of us. We regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, look at verse 17. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. My friends, our religion is a religion of revelation and of transformation by the power of God's grace to transform us not only so that we can see Jesus as the Son of God, not viewing him from a worldly perspective, but from the perspective of the revelation that who he is, but it's in that context that we see each other properly as well. And of course, Paul here is talking about how before he was a Jew who was raised to be prejudiced against Gentiles, and now we have a faith where we understand there is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, male nor female, all are one in Christ, says Galatians 3:27. And we don't judge according to appearance, as Jesus says in John 7:24, but we judge righteous judgment. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And there is only one way, my friends, for us to get it right, whether it's about who Jesus Christ is or who our brothers and sisters are and who we are in relation to both. It comes by a transformation, a renewal of our minds in Jesus Christ that can only come by supernatural power. I'll leave you with Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. St. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship, which, by the way, is a terrible translation there. It's actually logike in Greek, which is your reasonable worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. My friends, there is no way to discern what is good, acceptable, perfect. There's no way to truly remain in Christ, seeing things as we ought to see them, apart from that ongoing transformation that comes by the renewal of our minds in Jesus Christ. God bless you.